Welcome to Catholics Across the Aisle, the podcast of the Florida Conference of Catholic Bishops, offering commentary on public policy and civic life. This is Michael Sheedy, Executive Director of the conference. Hello, I'm Michael Sheedy. I'm the Executive Director at the Florida Conference of Catholic Bishops. Thank you for joining us for another installment in the Catholics Across the Aisle podcast series. Today, I'm very pleased to be joined by Christy Arnold, Associate for Social Concerns and Respect Life here at the conference. We're going to be talking today about some really extremely notable developments with respect to abortion policy, limiting the harm of abortion here in Florida, all while we are still awaiting what we think will be a watershed moment in the Dobbs ruling at the U.S. Supreme Court level. So, Christy, thanks for joining in today.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
You know, Christy, you know, you've been on board almost a year, and it's really been quite incredible what you've kind of heard over for the conference here and your involvement with the legislature, being an attorney, great insight into the courts and the legal system. It's really just amazing. And I'm kind of excited as we sit here. You know, I think the rest of the country, certainly Floridians, are all waiting for the ruling in the Dobbs case. But really, we have seen just tremendous breakthroughs here at the state level. And I'm glad we get to talk about that today.
Yeah, me too. I'm excited.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, the main two things just for listeners to know is that, number one, we had a really favorable development with respect to the Gainesville women's care case involving our 24-hour waiting period law that passed in 2015. It's been enjoined since then. And we also passed a new law, and the governor signed legislation that's going to go into effect July 1st that will ban abortions really after 15 weeks except to save the life of a mother or in those cases of severe fetal anomaly. So these are two things that would have been almost unimaginable not too long ago here in Florida, but really wonderful developments. And I'm glad that as we prepare for the, you know, what we hear from the U.S. Supreme Court on Dobbs, that there have been these great steps taken forward in Florida. So why don't we start talking a little bit about the Gainesville woman care case, 2015 law that's been enjoined really since then. But it was recently finally, heard in a trial. They finally had a hearing on it. Actually, they didn't, did they? They had, this is summary judgment that happened on this. Why don't you tell us what the newest news is on that law?
So in April, Judge Angela Dempsey of the Second Judicial Circuit Court here in Tallahassee, she ruled on a motion that was filed by the state for summary judgment, which she granted it for the state. And that means that they didn't have to go to trial. And so once she granted that motion, the law that had been enjoined went into immediate effect. And so the 24-hour reflection period law that requires women to reflect on information that is provided to them by physicians before they seek an abortion. That law is in effect right now because of Judge Dempsey's ruling on April 8th.
Is it fair to say, I think it's fair to say, that this was a little bit unexpected, given all that had kind of happened before this, in terms of just the law being passed, signed into law, really challenged right away, and really only in effect for a total of maybe one day in those 7 years. I guess when a law is enjoined, it's because the ultimate court does believe that a challenge to the law will be successful. And so in this case, though, the state made a motion for summary judgment, basically to kind of go 180 degrees the other direction and say, no, the law should be upheld. And that's what happened.
Right. And it definitely was surprising in a very good way.
You know, I can remember in 2015, that legislative session, a lot of good arguments were made in support of this. You know, we're surrounded by other states that have got similar laws that have gone into effect in Alabama and in Georgia. I think in one of those states, the waiting period is actually 48 hours. One, it's 24.
Yes.
So, you know, we might have seen some abortion tourism, women coming from those other states who don't want to have to wait for any kind of period, maybe coming to Florida for their abortions. And so I know we've had a pretty relatively high per capita number of abortions, sadly, here in Florida. And maybe that's being driven by this policy that is no longer really in effect, that hopefully we'll start to see something change that way. But
yes, definitely. I think Judge Dempsey's ruling kind of laid out a lot of the reasons and justifications for the passage of the bill in the first place. In upholding the law, she said that the evidence that was submitted by the state clearly establishes that the state has an interest in informed consent for women who seek abortions. And one of the main reasons she cited in her ruling is that the medical industry already has an informed consent standard across the industry itself, and it already requires for similarly invasive elective procedures, requires reflection periods. And so for abortion to kind of be the outlier was kind of going against the grain. And so this ruling brings abortion, the industry of abortion, kind of in line with just standard medical practice regarding informed consent. And then also she cited that many women in Florida who seek abortions, they are given information about the abortion procedure before it's performed, but often when the abortions were being performed the same day as the information was given to them, they report that they didn't have time to review the information or actually even understand it. And so this really does allow women to have time to take to review the information that's given to them about what they're about to entail or to undergo, and then to make that decision kind of apart from the pressure of the abortion facility itself.
Yeah, because they have a real an interest in getting an abortion performed that day. And it's sort of like, hey, we don't want someone to go home. We don't want them not to come back. We don't want them to think maybe too much about it. We want to perform an abortion and get paid for that. You know, it's interesting too, you make the point about trying to bring the abortion industry, if you will, into conformity with the rest of healthcare. Because, you know, there were some arguments that were being presented by the plaintiffs in this case to the effect that, oh, we're singling out abortion specifically just to make them have a waiting period in abortion clinics, rather than they're not trying to make the point that this is being aligned with the rest of the normal practice of healthcare. So they were trying to say you're unfairly singling out abortion, but really when in fact abortion is the one that's been the outlier and they're just trying to bring it into conformity with really standards of care. So
exactly. And it seems that Judge Dempsey was definitely convinced by those arguments made by the state. She also ruled that, or in her ruling, she also discussed how many women regret having an abortion, and they often try to reverse the chemical abortions that they obtain, often within hours or even days of beginning the process for a medical abortion. So this law would hopefully stem some of that. And then she just went on to discuss the harm that women experience from abortion, ranging from like psychological harm, emotional harm, and as well as the physical harms that come with abortion. And then I think finally she made a really good point that 24 hours is just like the minimum time that you would need to kind of sleep on this type of monumental decision. And then it also brings Florida into alignment in the sense that Florida has a lot of laws relating to waiting periods for other important decisions that people make throughout their lives, such as you need to wait 3 days to get a marriage license, and you need to wait 3 days to purchase a firearm, or even 2 days to cremate a loved one. So to have abortion have a reflection period similar to other important decisions in Florida law just seems to be good sense. And
yeah, I think since abortion is, you know, I don't mean to, well, perhaps pejoratively, you know, since it involves reproductive health care or anti-reproductive health care, I know that we have even a waiting period before a person can be sterilized. So another place where we have a built-in waiting period before a really serious, perhaps tragic decision. So, you know, just as we reflect on this, having been here, working at the Catholic Conference and working with the legislature when this law was actually passed, just I think we got to remember the sponsors of these bills who were really courageous, strong, really, really interesting women who were really admirable. I mean, I have a great deal of admiration for both Senator Ana Terry Flores, who, when she was the sponsor of this bill in the Senate, she had already been through a lot of abortion limiting legislative battles as a bill sponsor, taking a lot of heat, everything. And then we had State Representative Jennifer Sullivan, who really at the time was in her first term, but at the time was unmarried. I don't think she had finished college yet. But she, you know, was a well-prepared debater, you know, homeschool student who learned a lot of speech and debate kind of things, but who was open to sponsoring this kind of legislation at that time. And she did a great job too. It was just really quite encouraging and inspiring, really, to remember how well those women, you know, led the charge on these bills. And of course, you know, they had a lot of encouragement and support from members of the majority parties at that time, presiding officers, but really they bore a lot of slings and arrows in passing these laws. And I just, you know, for history's sake, Christy, you alluded to the long history, you know, legally that unfolded after these were enjoined or in the injunction process, I guess. I do recall that when the Florida Supreme Court was considering enjoining these, there was an opportunity to offer amicus briefs. And our state Catholic Conference did provide a brief in support of the law. I think it was particularly trying to respond to what we would say really were very incomplete considerations made by a group of university bioethicists. You know, I think they were presenting the tenets of modern bioethic theory, and the textbooks that they cited would cite four principles, and they only alluded to three. And the fourth one was the key one that needed to be, you know, put in front of the court so they would not say, oh, we're going to find this law unconstitutional in part because it's not bioethically responsible. And we were happy to help take that argument away back in the day, even though it was ultimately enjoined.
So. It's good to get those arguments, you know, out there.
Yeah. Like, we got to be honest here. Like, don't get hoodwinked into some bad thinking. So that's the importance of briefs like that, I hope. So, yeah, glad to do our part. But I know it was a Catholic Days at the Capitol legislative issue when these bills were being debated. It's really pretty gratifying to know that even after 7 years, they've finally gone into effect, and there will be a greater, you know, protection for women who really contemplate what still we hope they will never follow through on, but you know, it will give them a chance to really think hard and long, and you know, before they undergo an abortion. So very encouraging. And again, hopefully we will see fewer people coming to Florida from other states for their abortions now that this law is in effect.
Yeah, it's very true. And we are just hoping that this will empower women, help protect them ultimately from the harm of abortion.
Today, as we're recording this, Christy, we are expecting that there will not be a legal challenge to Judge Dempsey's ruling. I mean, is it right that we're at the period at which the plaintiff's window has closed to really file an appeal?
Yes. So the Florida Rules of Appellate Procedure states that a party seeking appeal has 30 days to file the appeal from the issuance of a final order. And so Judge Dempsey issued her final judgment on April 25th of this year. And as of today, May 26th, it appears that the plaintiffs have not filed an appeal. And so it seems that the time to file an appeal has already expired.
Right. And there could be some extenuating circumstances by which they could, you know, receive permission to file something if there were other things that got in the way of their filing. And
yes,
the courts would look at that, but it's not that likely, right?
It's pretty unlikely that the court would find excusable neglect or good cause for a late filing. Yeah. But it could happen.
All right. well, hey, it's greatly encouraging that this is going to be in effect, is really in effect and will remain in effect here in Florida. That's really very exciting. And maybe we should probably just flip our attention to the law that was passed this year that will ban abortions after 15 weeks of gestation. Tell us about that bill and the law that's gone into that's been passed now.
Yes, so HB 5 in the House, filed by Representative Aaron Girl, and then the companion bill SB 146, filed by Senator Kelly Stargell. These laws ban abortion procedures after 15 weeks gestation, and it also provides an exception for a fatal fetal abnormality, which would have to be diagnosed by a doctor. And then currently in law, there's already other exceptions to save the life of the mother. And so this law really just narrows the window, shrinks the window in which someone can obtain an abortion. So the law has been signed, but it will go into effect July 1st. So currently the law is that a woman can obtain an abortion up to either the third trimester or the beginning of third trimester, or when a fetus is viable. And so this law really shrinks the window about 8 or 9 weeks in terms of gestation.
So you mentioned the viability cutoff, you know, for abortion in Florida. Prior to this, or I guess it's still the case because this law has not gone into effect, but I know we've had some difficulty determining how ACA looks at that, what they have their the folks who review records, what they use to say, okay, this child was viable or was not viable when this abortion happened. And there have been a host of concerns and questions about just the regulatory schema that ACA is implementing with respect to abortion and in terms of the viability standard. Also wondering what they do when an abortion is reported as having happened outside the scope of what's currently allowed in law. You know, like we had third trimester abortions reported to ACA that were done for reasons other than those allowable, because really in the third trimester, you can only have an abortion to save the life of a mother. And they were being listed on the website for happening for other reasons. And so that was of concern to us. I know that we're hoping that the questions that we've raised will be resolved, but I know that there's been some concern about just the whole regulatory framework at ACA for a while.
Yes. And so we're, you know, looking forward to hopefully more regulation on that and just on other abortion laws in general in Florida. But a lot of people throughout session asked why 15 weeks, you know, why did this bill kind of stop at 15 weeks or even start there? And two of the main justifications given by bill sponsors were, number one, the case in Dogs is being litigated, and it concerns a law that also bans abortion at 15 weeks gestation. That's out of Mississippi. So the Florida legislature kind of wanted to have a 15-week ban as well, just so that depending on how Dobbs turns out, we could in Florida also have a 15-week ban that would likely go into effect immediately. And then the other justification is that current research shows that an unborn child, a fetus, can feel pain as early as 15 weeks and possibly even earlier. Those were two of the main justifications that were given for having a 15-week ban as opposed to any other week.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. You know, there was a lot of thought that went into seeking that 15-week abortion ban and framing up a bill that closely tracks the underlying law in Mississippi that's at the root of the Dobbs case. I know that, you know, we're expecting a ruling. We're kind of living under the shadow and the anticipation of that ruling in the coming weeks. But I think there was some expectation that if the Supreme Court accepted cert on that case, that they probably intend to uphold it in whole or in part, because, you know, if they did not intend to do it, they could have denied cert, and that would have, you know, that the law would have gone away, basically. But they accepted it. And so there's some expectation it would be upheld, which I think is what really gave the legislature courage to say, look, you know, we haven't gone that far in Florida. We haven't felt like federal jurisprudence would allow us to go to 15 weeks. But if we can weigh, we make it effective after we expect it to come out and we expect it to be somewhat favorable, we can live under that regime, I think, for a little while. So I think it was pretty smart, you know, to do that. And, it's certainly defensible. Obviously, we'd love to be able to limit abortion even further. And, you know, depending on how things unfold, that's where we'll try to go. But it's certainly, you know, the legislature gave us a chance, you know, to begin to limit abortion at a point that we think they will allow abortion limits, you know, that have heretofore been prohibited. You know, so 15 weeks is a great place to go. This last session, you know, I think it gave the legislature a lot of confidence that the Governor DeSantis had expressed support for this. They kind of knew that if they could get this passed, he would sign it. I think that means a lot to the legislature because, you know, these debates are difficult, wouldn't you say? I mean, you sat through them, you testified in those hearings, you felt that energy in the room, you know, it's pretty intense in there. Like, even if you have some confidence that the votes are going to go our way, it's not an easy battle. I think folks who support abortion rights, abortion access, you know, definitely are not going to make it easy. They're going to fight for every inch, I think, policy-wise. So I think this was a good strategy. It makes a lot of sense. I mean, I'm glad this passed, Christy. And you got to go to the bill signing ceremony, right, in Orlando?
Yes, I attended the bill signing at which Governor DeSantis signed the bill into law. And the bill sponsors, Representative Grawl and Senator Stargell, they were both present, as well as several other members of the legislature. And then a lot of people also spoke about how abortion had either harmed them in the past, or also an abortion survivor was present, and then several women who chose life were there. So overall, it was a great event, and it was exciting to see it signed.
Well, it's interesting. Representative Grawl and Senator Stargell both have had experience sponsoring and passing laws to limit the harm of abortion. I think they were both the sponsors of the law that reinstated a parental consent requirement here in Florida. Again, another Catholic Days at the Capitol priority bill, as was the 15-week abortion ban that we're speaking about. Those were things that, you know, Catholics came from across Florida to advocate for. We're grateful that they've come. We're proud that they were there. They were there in committees that were debating these bills. That was really encouraging. But Representative Grawl had been, you know, really strong parental consent bill sponsor. She had done other abortion limiting legislation that passed the House. That's been great. Senator Stargell, you know, I think this is one of the very few bills that she sponsored this year as the Appropriations Committee chair. But, you know, in both the House and in the Senate, a strong pro-life champion who really paved the way. I think it's very inspiring that women file these bills. I think, you know, it's helpful, you know, because they have had unique experiences as women and who are close to women who have had abortions or have contemplated abortions, and they've mothered children. There's something that's really been special and really encouraging about the way that they've done this, and that they have been the bill sponsors, the champions for these. So
definitely, we're very thankful that, yeah, they had the courage and that they, you know, took it up, because we definitely appreciate that and can see the legislative victory that came forth from their work.
So we've kind of kicked around, you know, these two really important policy developments. The waiting period law is in effect, and we're waiting for the 15-week abortion ban to go into effect July 1st. We anticipate that will follow a good ruling, we hope, or a somewhat positive, at least partially helpful ruling in the Dobbs case related to 15 weeks. So these are going to go into effect. That's going to change things a lot for abortion in Florida. Christy, as we look at what this new landscape will be, you know, what are the first things that come to mind for you? Like, where are we going to go next? Or how does this change things in terms of just the numbers of abortions?
Well, I mean, in regards to the 15-week ban, throughout the committees, there were a lot of kind of numbers thrown around. But one of the main ones was that I think about 96% of abortions in Florida occur prior to 15 weeks. And so I think the majority of abortions in Florida that have happened around that time will probably continue to be allowed. But, you know, around 4% of abortions do occur after 15 weeks in Florida statistically. And so that would, given past numbers, that would probably save around 5,000 unborn children lives per year, which would be amazing. And so I do think, like, moving forward, that lots of lives will be saved from this 15-week ban. And I just think that the landscape in and of itself will change along with the 24-hour waiting period, and people will hopefully be aware that the legislature is trying to do all it can to protect unborn children and empower women to choose life and to help women ultimately.
Mm-hmm. You know, I appreciate you're pointing to the 4% figure that was offered during the debate on this bill. You know, I think that just having heard that debate and also observed the debate through the media and the way that it was covered, I think people were anticipating that it might have gone further. I mean, you know, that it gets discussed as if there's this drastic reduction in abortion availability, when in fact still 96% of the abortions that happen will still be able to happen, probably under the 15-week abortion ban. I think it's also interesting that when you look at polling of Americans' attitudes about abortion, most Americans think this abortion should happen within the first trimester only, not beyond that. And 15 weeks, you know, is still beyond that first trimester. Yeah. So, you know, for whatever hoopla it felt like there was in the coverage of this, like, this is a drastic ban. I suppose on one hand, it is a drastic change, you know, from, like, as you mentioned, 24 weeks gestation or viability, wherever that is, to 15 is a big change in terms of the numbers of weeks, but it's only really 4% of the abortions. I mean, which I should never say only 4%, because each one represents, you know, a human life lost, but there would still probably be some room to go to shrink that window further to even align with, you know, what people think is acceptable or should be acceptable in terms of allowing abortion here in our society. And we don't support that, of course, but we also recognize where people are. So
definitely. And we're all just kind of waiting to see what the Supreme Court does with the Dobbs case. So the legislators in Florida can move forward from there.
Yeah. So Christy, I know that we like to play it safe. I'm not going to prognosticate too much, but what do you think are some of the possible outcomes for Dobbs? Just, you know, we could see them upholding bans on abortion at 15 weeks, in which case the Florida law would still stand.
That's
one possible outcome.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, I think it could go probably one of two ways. The court could decide to just uphold the Mississippi law at issue in Dobbs without completely overturning Roe v. Wade and Casey, Planned Parenthood v. Casey. And so that would allow Florida to maintain its 15-week ban. Or the court could entirely choose to just go ahead and reverse Roe v. Wade entirely, as well as Planned Parenthood v. Casey. And that would allow Mississippi to uphold its 15-week ban, but it would also allow other states to pass abortion prohibitions as early in gestation or as late in gestation as they want, because a reversal of Roe means that abortion lawmaking essentially goes back to the states.
And that's the kind of sentiment that we saw expressed in the leaked opinion that had been authored by Justice Alito, right? It was, okay, we basically undo it all and give it back to the states kind of in toto. I mean, that would be it. States would be deciding.
Mm-hmm.
So either way, you know, we're hopeful that there will be a good ruling that will further limit the harm of abortion in Florida. And I guess that'll be interesting, won't it? Because as you said, some states can have more liberal or more laws that allow abortion up until birth, and then some might prohibit them altogether. It really will change the dynamics across our country if it goes that far, I guess.
It really will. It'll be very interesting to see what the court decides to do and then what ensues after that.
Well, listen, Christy, good insight here. You have been riding herd so well over our Respect Life efforts since you joined our staff here. Thank you for the good work. For laying it out here for us at on Catholics Across the Aisle. And I think we'll be talking more about abortion policy. Probably we'll have to record some reflection on what the Dobbs ruling will ultimately mean here in Florida. So folks hopefully will listen to the next one on that topic. But for now, this is really very timely, a lot of good insight into where we are in Florida as we anticipate the Dobbs ruling with a lot of strides made. And just really very recent times in just the last few months. So congratulations on the good work, Christy, all the good progress. Thank you. Please God, this will continue here in Florida. Any final words?
Well, thank you for having me, Michael. And glad to discuss and looking forward to what the future might bring. Hopefully good things for Florida.
All right. Well, I thank you all for joining us for another episode of Catholics Across the Aisle. Michael Sheedy been here with Christy Arnold today. Thank you for joining us.